So what I wanted to do, again, just to sort of wrap things up, halacha l'maaseh. So last week, Rabbi Chachiner dealt with ovens, which is really the sugya of recha and zeya, right, of all the problems that are created by cooking things within a, you know, within a small area, an enclosed area, right? And right, what you did last week, you saw, right, the least problematic cases of recha and zeya are when whatever you're cooking is within a big open space, and the most problematic are when they are in a small closed space, right? What we call katan v'sasam versus gadol u'pasuach. Where exactly you draw the line of gadol katan is a little bit questionable. And that leads to all the halachos by microwaves. Now, microwaves are a little bit more complicated in halacha in both directions, for many reasons. First of all, it's not clear halachically how to define what they're doing, whether they're actually cooking or not, right? Whether that's called cooking or called something else. And also, they are, on the one hand, small and you know, not as vented as ovens. On the other hand, because they don't really cook in a normal way, the walls don't get quite as hot. So what I wanted to do is give more of an overall skira of what the status of microwaves are, not just in kashrus, because to understand fully the problem that microwaves cause for kashrus, you need to understand the problem they cause in halacha in general, because they're, right, because they're so new, they're a nightmare to pin down halachically. So what I want to do is just give a overview of all the areas in halacha where it's several of the areas in halacha where it's relevant to frame the issue, and then come back to the kashrus one at the end. Now, by the way, just how do microwaves cook? Right? What's the primary difference between how they work and an oven works or a stove works?
It's not like pumping hot air through.
Or what is it doing?
It's microwaves.
Right, waves which do what?
Which
generate heat from the inside out.
Correct. Right. They speed up the molecules in the food itself, causing it to heat up, right? So the heat is coming from the inside rather than from the outside, right? So fundamentally, they are the opposite of cooking. Okay, so what I put here, like I said, several topics, and Buzzer will call you see is later on, but before we get there, we just need to frame the issues. The first question we need to talk about is really, is whatever it is doing bishul? And the classic case where that's relevant, where the question of whether this is formal bishul or not is most relevant, is on Shabbos, right? Bishul, as he mentioned. I could have just given him this, right? Bishul being one of 39 halachos. From the Gemara requires it to be called what's derech bishula. Right? It has to be in a way normally cooked. And the Gemara says, for example, if you were to cook something in Chami Tveria, right, in the hot springs of Tveria, even though it would cook, that's not called bishul d'oraisa because there is no fire. And so the general rule in bishul d'oraisa is you're only chayev with what's called or, right? If you use fire. Right, if you use chama, it's mutar lechatchila. Right, if you just put something in the sun and let it heat up in the summer day, so it's mutar lechatchila. If you use what's called chame,
even if you do that on purpose,
correct, it's mutar lechatchila. If you do what's called chame or, right, where you do something which itself was heated up from the sun, it's also midir rabbanan because it looks like you're using something which is chame haor, right? So chame hashemesh rather. Right, if you do something which is heated up from the sun, so then you wouldn't be able to distinguish between that and something heated up by fire, so it would be asur midir rabbanan. But if you simply just put it out there in the sun and let it cook, right, it was 100 and whatever, right, last year when there was a heat wave in the Middle East, so like Israel was like 110 degrees, but like Iran apparently had places which were upwards of 160 degrees. So 160 degrees is, you know, yatzaledet, but like you can cook in the air. Right?
So just holding out a frying pan.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you do that, that's mutter. You might die, but it is
on the sidewalk once in Beijing.
So like, yeah, great. Yeah, so like that type of stuff.
You can also, for sure, a car, if you open up a car,
yeah.
Easy.
It's actually crazy.
Yes, yes. Okay, so on Shabbos, so what's the status of microwave? Is it like chame, or is it like the chama, right? Or is it toldos chama, rather? Right, toldos chama, toldos or whatever. I'm mixing my phrases here, but that's okay. Is it like fire? Is it like the sun? Is it like toldos hachama, toldos of the sun? So what's the halacha? So this is famously a machlokas between Ramosha Feinstein, Rosh Hashanah, Orbach. Ramosha, in one, says, imkein, ha-microwave oven, right? If you can read that, right? A microwave oven, right?
Microwave.
Microwave oven, yeah? Tanur mikrogil, right? Microwave. Shetov levasher bo kamo be'esh mamish. She says, it's as good as cooking as fire itself. Ve'elu she'esh lam tanur kazeh mishtam shem yosir mi bishul de be'esh. That's not true, which is one of the critiques. Is that the people who use microwaves use it more than they use their stove and their oven. He said the reason people don't use microwaves so much is they don't have them yet. But one day, I predict that people will all have microwaves, and that will replace using ovens. Vada yesh lamelech mibishel d'or da'ei b'mishkan, and therefore it is like cooking in the Mishkan. B'chashivas tolada shuhu l'chol adayanim ka'av. So it is like an av malacha. The bishul de or le israel lechiv skila lechatas nidbichayev misa. So Moshe Feinstein argues that the way you define bishul on Shabbos is how is it normally cooked. It doesn't need fire; just needs to be the way people normally cook. Now he argues that microwaves is how people normally cook, and therefore it is bishul de oraisa. Now, there is a pragmatic critique of Ramosha, which he couldn't have known when he wrote the Tshuva, which is that isn't how things turned out. But Ramosha's fundamental argument is you don't need fire for something to be bishul, and you need it to be derech bishulo. He just thinks that people will one day replace cooking with microwaves.
If that ended up being true, then it would
right.
be true first.
So Ramosha, his fundamental halachic argument is that bishul doesn't require fire, it just requires that the normal way of cooking. His
it's normal that it's fine. But it's
well,
bishul.
Not fine.
That it's called bishul.
Correct. Now, there's the Metzius claim of did that happen or not, which Yesh Ladon, because everyone knows that microwaves don't taste quite the same as everything else, right? They don't make food taste quite as good. So even on a Metzius level, you could argue Ramosha, but his fundamental halachic claim is that Bishul is about Derech Bishul, the way people cook, not about fire. Shlomo Zalman says, no, cooking is about fire. Haraya, the sugya of Chamei Tveria, right? And of Toldos Chama, right? That the point is, that even if you could recreate the situation of fire using heating something up with the sun, it would be only derabanan, because it's about fire. It's not about derech bishul. At least on Shabbos, it's about there actually being fire. I gave you not Rosh Hashanah, and I gave you
different contexts for bishul is defined.
Right. So we're going to get bishul. Right. So that's what we're going to get to. This is why we have to set this up. Right. So Shabbos. Right. This is Rosh Hashanah argument, and then I gave you Rosh Moshe Sternbach just because it's shorter. Right. He said near shagam l'inyan mikrogil b'shabbos shasag Rosh Moshe Feinstein zasher zem lachad darei. So well near the lo dami. He says no. She rak b'bishul b'chamashu bishul gomer in lefatro elik shein zederek bishulo. He said, when it comes to the sun, so then we aser it dirabanan, right? Because it's not darko. And if it was darko, we aser it dirabanan. Well, come to mikro gil, yish das, mumchen, shechaz, reichot, abishol. He says, qualitatively, it is different. That's why I put it, because he makes the Messiah's claim. Darko bach, ain't the lemavashol, came in chain of dumya, de mishka, maturis, abishol. So he says two things, right? One is the quality is different. Two, it's not the way it's done in the mishka. Now, he conflates the two, but those are actually two separate arguments. Rav Shlomo Zalman's argument is, for Shabbos, at least, you need fire.
Is that criteria that it has to be done the way it was done in Mishkan?
Yeah, for Shabbos, yes. Right, so that Shlomo Zalman's argument is like this part of the Chuvas Vanagos, that for the purpose of Shabbos, it needs to be domeh to the Mishkan. And point two is, and don't even tell me it's darko, because it doesn't make the food as good as cooking on a stove or an oven. But he said maybe you could argue on that claim and say that it is the same quality, or no one really can tell, which I'm not sure is true. I think people can tell.
Yeah, for sure.
But
just because it's not the same quality, does that not make it like?
Yeah, so that would make it klakar. Yeah, that would make it only mean derabanan, right? Presumably. So what you have is you have two levels here, right? So at least for Shabbos, you have Ramosha claiming that bishul on Shabbos is defined as how do people normally cook. And you have Shlomo Zalman saying, for the purpose of Shabbos, what matters is fire. And then you have a secondary question, is even then Ramosha, okay, but is this Derech Bishul or not? Does it create the same quality of cooking as actual cooking or not? Which we could go back and forth on that question. But the fundamental issue is you have this Machlokas number one, which is when you're defining Bishul for the purpose of Shabbos, what defines Bishul? Is it fire or is it how people normally cook, which may or may not apply to microwaves? So that's question one on Shabbos. Now the second Nafkamina on Shabbos is not bishul, but what's called bishul achar bishul. Right? We paskin that once something's cooked, you can recook it, right? With the Ashkenazi Pesach excludes liquids from that, right? Therefore, you can't reheat a liquid that's cooled down, but a solid you could just put on the blech, right? You could put on the hot plate, and you would be allowed to recook it. Whether there are limitations on a Darabanan level is a different story, because of Garfa Katum and the like. But fundamentally, there's no problem of recooking food. So what happens if you're not cooking food on Shabbos in the microwave? You are now recooking food that was originally cooked in the microwave.
Which is the case of microwaves. What? Which is the most common case of microwaves.
Well, no, the other way around.
No, it's the other way around.
This is the opposite of the most opposite case. Yeah. You are recooking on a fire something which was originally cooked in a microwave.
All right.
Meaning it's the opposite.
Why?
Right? Yeah, okay, reheating something is clearly mutter because you could even put it on the fire. I mean, you can't use the whatever.
The question is, turn
on the microwave, but fine.
Meaning
it would only be there if you think electricity is only Darabanan, right? Then heating something up in a microwave that was already cooked would only be Darabanan.
Which is now is it was originally cooked in a microwave.
Correct.
Was it cooked
right?
At all?
So is that called bishul such that you can now cook it on the fire?
Right.
So that's where the Shevi Levi takes up in three. And he says, "Le'inyan ein bishul achar bishul yesh lehistapik." But probably she does it from emits. The yesh bishul achare afio tzliya afal pi shechayev. So he says as follows. He said, so first things first, there's a position of the Uregan that if something was baked, you can't then cook it. Or something was cooked, you can't then bake it. Because even though it's fully cooked halachically, there's some change. Right, the heter bishul achar bishul is only if there's no increase in quality over the first cooking. There's no change, right? You're just redoing. But if before it was cooked and now you're baking it, or you're frying it, or it was originally fried and now you're cooking it, it would be usur because you're changing something. So according to the Urayim, it would be clear that this would be usur because cooking adds something to the flavor that microwaving doesn't. Right, microwaving may make it edible, but it tastes better if it was sitting in the over an open flame or something like that. Right, according to the Reim, it's clear that it would be usur. But he says, okay, but not according to the Reim. Then he says, "Ditachen shein bishul bishul or acharei bishul bechama tosof sof k'mar nigra bishul dechama v'nispal lagamre bishul arishon dehasam bishul ubishul hu aval hach." So he says, well, what would it come down to? He said, what would happen if you cook something in the sun? And then you wanted to cook it in fire. So would that be usur or mutter? Well, he says, I'm not sure. Because why is it usur? Why is it mutter to cook something that's already been cooked? Is it because it formally was already cooked? Or is it because you're not doing anything new to it? If it's the latter, then even if the first time it got cooked in a way that isn't considered cooking, but sof, it now looks like it's cooked, then recooking it does nothing to it. So he says, he thinks that might be true for the sun. But he says here it might be different because you could recreate cooking with the heat of the sun in a way you can't do it with the microwave. Because the microwave is so different than actual cooking, right? Because you're heating it up from the inside rather than the outside. But I'm not sure. So he thinks you should be machmir. So in the end he doesn't know, but he highlights the second question, which is, the first question is this bishul time one? The second question is, even if it isn't bishul, right, is what it creates similar enough to bishul that for certain purposes it could be called bishul even on Shabbos, right? Because Shabbos is clearly the highest standard, because we are trying to make a doma to the Mishkan. So what he raises is the suffix is, even if it's not bishul, so you wouldn't be chayv the first time around, is the result close enough to bishul such that bishul after it would be ineffective?
So the first question is kind of a class, like, are we classifying it as bishul, and the second one is kind of practically how are we...
Exactly, right? The first question is it defined as bishul in the action? The second one is really, is the result called bishul?
What's the Mishkan with the sun?
So the sun, he thinks, is probably going to... Well, he thinks is mutter, right? He's not really sure, right? Even with the sun.
Then it will just depend on whether you hold this is more similar to the sun or more similar to
correct.
Fire. Correct.
Right? Right, but he's not even sure by the sun.
Missing some context here.
What?
Missing some context here because I'm not following.
Yes.
What can't we do? What are we trying to figure out?
We're trying to figure out the status of cooking something in a microwave.
Okay.
right? So first we're starting with Shabbos, right? Well, there's two questions, okay, right? Right. First we're in Shabbos. First question is, cooking something with a microwave, is that asar midaraisa or not? Right. So Moshe says, it might be, because we define, on Shabbos, because we define cooking as anything which is the normal way of cooking. Assuming this is the normal way of cooking. Shlomo Zalman says, no, the way we define cooking on Shabbos is with fire, and this doesn't have fire. That's question one. Okay. Question two is, besides the action, okay, is the result of a microwave called cooked or not? Right, that's really, right, that's the question of the Shevet HaLevi. Now this is already going to be important. This is what, right, why it's important as we're going to get to Kashrus, because in Kashrus we have to figure out whether what's important is the act of Bishul or the result of Bishul, right? Okay. So that's set of questions one. Now set of questions two, before we get to actual Basar B'Chalav, is another case where we have Bishul, right, which is Bishul Akum. Right? There's a prohibition to have a guy cook for food for you, but there are exceptions to that rule. If it is Eino Nechal Chai, if it's Nechal Chai, if it's something you would eat raw, or it's Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim, you wouldn't eat that food at a, whatever, fancy banquet, so then there's no Isser of Bishul Akum. Okay. So, if a guy microwaves food,
I didn't know that.
Okay. There you go. So that's important. That's important. Okay. So now, if a guy were to microwave food, would that be usur? And possibility two is, if you, so another halach and bishul akum is, that something only becomes usur bishul akum if the guy does everything. But if the Jew is involved in the process, so then it is not bishul akum. So, both questions. If a guy microwaves it, is it usur? And if a Jew microwaves it and then a non-Jew cooks it, right, is that considered the Jew having participated?
You defrost it or something.
Right, you defrost it in the microwave. Is that enough to say the Jew was involved to remove the problem? Okay, so here again we have a machlokas. So the Shevet HaLevi, again, Rav Vosner says, because of Bishem, it's Adam Lahakel. The Bishul B'Tanurinu Dom LaBishul Shal Eish Klalom Huzav Lo B'Tiv HaBishul. He said, some people say it's mutter if a non-Jew microwaves something because it's not cooking. Right, the bezeh bishul nasa de rikuz galim sheoverim lachalakim akashim magim lachalakim akim shalav mevushal. Because here the waves come from the inside. By days I'm watching the earth ma'od. The gamadiv abishul ain't a dom legam lemevushal ba'ish mamash. Right, it's not exactly the same in how it tastes, etc. Umalas kvodo kasa diyesh mekilim bezeh. Right, so he says, you tell me that there's some more makel. The gam misadok she wrote hamehadrin b'shar dvarim ain't a makvino vashal bezeh de akum. And some kosher restaurants will let non-Jews microwave food. Uvachuvas davar zeh omer ki davar pashuk ki davar zeh aser mishum bishul akum. He says, no, I think it's aser. Ki bein latam agzer mishum chas. No, it's bein latam agzer mishum shem yalechenu dvarim tem. He said, there are two reasons suggested for why you can't have a non-Jew cook food for you. One is that he might give you treif food. Right? You might not notice, it might be treif. The second thing is it's mishum chasnos, is that it'll create increased intimacy if he's cooking for you. Says both of those things are true, even by a microwave. Right? If he's making your food, I don't care how he's making it. And then he brings a third one. The pasuk has an asmachta that it's a pasuk. Yalfin mikra ochel bekesef tashmir mechalto mayim bekesef titin levi shetiti. Duma mayim shol nishtanu biyasan alidea or
asmachta about microwaves.
What? No, about cooking, about bishul akum. The gemara says that anything that a guy can't change the food. Right, that he's giving you, right? Al yideha or through fire. Says coals are shaykh of bishul zeb and microgill. The microgal. If you make it in a microwave, all these are relevant. Eloya iser melechas bishul hayalenu lachkor v'tiv kulas melechas bishul shal microgill asher achshav ein lanu esik v'zeh. He said, look, if bishul akum was about formal cooking, so we'd have to ask the same questions that we did by Shabbos. But it's not. It's about, is this action going to create intimacy between you and a non-Jew? Or could the non-Jew sneak non-kosher food in when he's cooking? Well, that doesn't matter about formal bishul. That just matters, is this cooked or not? I don't care if it's formally bishul or not. I care if mitzvah is, right? In reality, did you cook? Isaac, Zer, bishul, Gavishim, Chazuz, Gazu. Right, we wanted you to distance yourself from them, and here they're cooking for you. I don't care how they're cooking. So he says it's osur.
I know it's a little bit off topic. Why is the Jew being solve that problem?
So presumably, meaning Chazal had to draw a line somewhere, and presumably because it's only the type of thing that a non-Jew is everything for you. Once you're involved, okay, it's, you know,
so you don't trust him.
Or he's not doing you evil. Either you don't trust him, or it's he's not doing you such a favor. favor because I at least I did something too, or we're doing this together rather than, you know, he's doing a favor, something like that.
Or I'm here and I'm watching.
Or I'm watching, or there's another thing's brought up. All those things. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Now, on the other hand, the Lahoras Nasan, Rav Nasan Gishtetner, number 5, says no. He says, Degam harach tenure mikro gal, shehum tu bachrona, right? These newfangled inventions, microwaves. She'ein shem eish kol, there ain't shem eish kol, there's no fire. Lo adet mechamek tverim mevashal bachamim, nir adein lo bishol bishol hakom. He says, no, you need bishol, and this is not bishol. Kem devi bishol shlo kedarko, ve'afa gav v'zman hazeh. Even though people do it, formally it's not bishul, and therefore the gzera was never chal on it. Rav Moshe Sternbach in 6 gives a right is machmir. Right, he says, right, kaven chayzim ani adam abishul mikro chashuv umikubal kishar bishul beish haloshayech beitam agzira kachol machmir mevushal deish. Since it's considered cooked, it's cooked. V'chalas v'chalam lahakel b'zeh v'af shemumchim tohanim shavulas abishul mikro gil eno kibishul beish. He says even though experts will tell you it doesn't taste quite the same, komakom kaven shmi adam eno nikra shinig b'nihem. Since people don't notice v'chashuv umikubal asam kibishul eish, so it is like cooking. Okay, go ahead, b'chal agzira the bishul. The River of Zephraim says no. Obviously, Hayoch is a steam below H. He said, look, this is just steaming it. It's not real fire. Eif Shalom, Elixir, Xeris, Mindatainu, we shouldn't be Gozer. Lachain, Nirali, the Ainu, Mishum, Bishalakum. We call Mokum, Latsman, and Machmir. I'm Machmir myself, Babam, Lochaldi, Dover, Shakum, Bishal, Bim, microwave. So I don't eat things that people microwave, but I think Maker Adin, it is
steam. Like
steam. He's from Memphis. Or he was the Rav in Memphis, right? He's not. I mean, he was from New York originally, but he's from Memphis. This is steam. Okay. So, question 2, Bishal Akum.
Sorry?
So, he says light steam.
It's
light steam. That's his point. So now Bishal Akum, context 2. So here you have some saying, like Rav Gishtetner and Rav Zephraim, look, Bishul Akum also requires cooking, and this is not cooking. And then you have the Chuvas Man Hagos and the Shevet HaLevi who either say it is cooking, or alternatively, there's some context where what's important is not, is it formally cooking, but the result, is this cooked? Right? Okay. So now with Shabbos and Bishul Akum as background, so now Basar B'Chalav, right? There's two questions about Basar B'Chalav. One is, if you cooked Basar B'Chalav together in a microwave, would you violate the Isur D'Oraisa? And two is, can you cook them one after the other in a microwave? Right? Those are two separate questions.
Or I guess at the same time.
Or the same time, right?
At the same time, you mean, I'm assuming you're contact.
Well, question one is, let's say you made a cheeseburger.
B'Chalav.
Right? Right? For question one, if you actually made a cheeseburger in a microwave, would you violate the Isur or not? Right, because as we know, meat or rice, you need to actually cook them together. So, if you cook them together in a microwave, did you cook them? And are they now asr b'achila, meat or rice, or not? Right? Obviously, d'rabbanan, you're not going anywhere near this thing, but d'oraisa. Question 2 is, can you cook them not like actually together, but either at the same time in the microwave or zeh achar zeh, right, one after the other? Okay, well, so, first question, if you make a cheeseburger in a microwave, is it asr midaraisa? Did you violate bishul? And if you now eat it, would you be chayv midaraisa basar b'chalav? So, if you look at 8, Shochar summarizes the Gemara and says, Hamu'ushan mevushal b'chamei tveria ein lokin olav. In order to violate the Isur, you need to cook it with fire. But Chamei Tveria, which is not considered, right, the steams of Tveria, which are not considered formal Bishul, so you don't violate the Isur of Bishul Basar B'Chalav, and if you eat it, it's not called Basar B'Chalav, Midaraisa. So now, so what about a microwave? So, it depends, right? Because it depends on 2 questions, right? One is a microwave cooking or not, which is Machlokas, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Question 2 is Bishul of Basar B'Chalav the same as Bishul on Shabbos, or do you say, like we said by Bishul Akum, that what matters is the result and not the process? So even if this is not Bishul vis-a-vis Shabbos, it might be Bishul vis-a-vis Basar B'Chalav, because the result might still be similar enough. So that is the Balei HaShulchan, right? Rav Feivel Cohen raises the subject. I just note that, right? I didn't put it in his text, but this is exactly his suffix. This double-edged sword, right? Is one, yeah.
Says that, like, the idea is the result. Like, don't create a toy.
Right, but the question is, right, still, do you need the formal process, right, for it to be considered cooked, right? Meaning microwave may look like it, but it may not
be considered cooked at all, regardless.
Correct. Correct. But this is the suffix about the Shulchan. He's not sure, because he knows it's a double question, right? One is, if the machlokes are Moshe Feinstein, Shmuel Zalman Orbach, is cooking about fire, or about the normal way people cook? And question two is, even if in the case of Shabbos, Bishul on Shabbos is about fire, is Bishul by Basar B'chalav like Shabbos, or do you say no? As Davy said, Bishul by Basar B'chalav is about creating Basar B'chalav, which you just did, right? So he's not sure, but it depends on this question. Now, the Lahoras Nasan, right, raises this question at length of whether these rules are about Shabbos or about cooking in general, which is the second prong to this question, right? So those two questions that we've just seen, right, are the exact question that relates to this issue of whether if you made a cheeseburger in a microwave, would you be chayv again? Even by Shabbos, do you need fire or is enough to be derech bishul? And two, is even if on Shabbos you need it fire because the process is important, is basar b'chalav about the process or about the result that it is now cooked together? In which case it would be usur. So those are two sfeikos that lead to this halachic question. Okay, now most people, though, aren't actually doing it. It's an interesting halachic question, but most people are not actually cooking a cheeseburger in... I mean, we're not cooking a cheeseburger in a microwave, and we don't have to give malkos. But the question that really comes up all the time is, okay, but what about using a microwave for the same microwave for fleishik and milchik? So as you already saw last week, ovens are already a suffix based on recha and zeya. Now, a microwave is, as I've said, better and worse than an oven. On the one hand, it is smaller and less vented. On the other hand, there is no real heat. The heat is created internally, and the walls don't really get hot.
Heat from the steam.
There is, right? So on the one hand, it's worse because it's small and there's steam and it's less vented, and you can actually see the steam. If there was ever a Reicha and Zeya, right, you see Zeya or Hevel, as Shechter would call it, right, thick steam. Mitzad Sheni, right?
There isn't really any wall heat to draw.
Correct. There's no real wall heat, right, to regurgitate, right? If you cook milk and then you open the microwave, clean it out, right, and then cook meat, even though it's true there was steam then, since the top of it never got hot, it may not absorb the taste from the steam, so you couldn't cook them at the same time because the steam is mixing.
But,
so that's the question. Bimitsia is probably not so much. Ray Willig likes saying he just put his hand in afterwards and pretty cold, right? So on the one hand, it's full of steam. On the other hand, it doesn't heat up the walls in the same way, so it may not maintain that taste, such that if you cook basar, then chalav, or vice versa, it would be able to regurgitate that taste into the second food.
I'm also not so sure that the walls are as absorbent as the walls.
Right, and they're not as... Maybe they're not absorbent because they're there. It's for shorter, they're plastic, all types of things.
This is also based... And also, if you cover it, then that's a whole other...
Right, well, and then what... Right, could you just solve the whole problem by covering,
that's
right? That would be...
Seems
correct. Now, where does that all come from? So, again, you get the range in postgame of those who think that basar b'chalav in microwave is the worst thing or the best thing in the world, right? So, we'll just quickly run through the sheetas, okay? Yes, that is what I'm convinced of, is that microwaves are either the worst thing in the universe or the best thing in the universe. I'm not sure, but I'm noted to think it's bad. But I'm not sure, so... But it's either the best or the worst, and nowhere in between, okay?
It can't either, possibly be in between.
No, it can't. It's either katan v'sasum with hevel, right? Or it's mutal l'chatila, right? Those are the only two options. But no, that's actually what it is. It's one or the other. I don't think there's anything in between. So, and that is exactly what the post can do, by the way. Right? If you want just to look at the summary, this is not just me. If I look, I put away all the end, right? These are the notes from Rosolovsky, which I saw after I came to the conclusion. But these are the ones passed around to Smicha, right? He says, in terms of microwaves, there are, again, advantages and disadvantages. It is worse for Zeya because, one, there is no outlet for the Zeya. Two, there's a lot of Zeya, right? If you ever looked at a microwave, it is pouring steam out of it.
Yeah.
And three, there's even Zeya for foods, right? Chazal say there's no Zeya for dry food. And somehow in microwaves, bread is steaming, right? No one knows how, right? No, I understand, right? But microwaves magically make even dry food, steam. So he says, on the one hand, it is the worst thing in the world. On the other hand, the walls of the microwave do not get hot, despite the fact that the Zeya is hot. As such, it is possible that there is no bli in the walls at all, which would allow us to use the microwave for milchik and fleishik. Also, we discussed earlier on whether there is bishul in a microwave. If one thinks that there is no bishul in a microwave, then the issue would depend on the machlok rishonim as to whether there can be bliya without bishul. Something that bliya only occurs when there's halachic bishul, and this translates into a machlok as to whether there's a problem with bliya in a klisheni, since we paskin no bishul in a klisheni. If we paskin there's no problem with bliya in a klisheni, then this indicates that we paskin there's no bliya without bishul. For those who think there is no bishul in a microwave, that would mean that there could never be a problem with basar b'chalav. Some also raise question about the glass tray on the bottom of the microwave, but this may not be so bad because glass is less of a problem regarding blios. As Rzelovsky notes, on the one hand, it doesn't really get hot. On the other hand, there's steam pouring out of everything, right? On the third hand, right? Sorry, so you see that really microwaves are either the worst or the best. And then the question of, did the walls absorb such it can regurgitate? Well, it depends. Is this bishul or not? And if it is bishul, do you need bishul, formal bishul, for blios? Or do you say, no, blios are about mitzius, as we saw above, simply the reality that there was cooking going on. Rusilovsky's conclusion, therefore, is, while Rusilovsky is very machmir in general and thinks people should have two ovens, but he says, that's expensive. But if you can't get two ovens, please God, just get two microwaves. Just don't do this to yourself. At least get two microwaves. That's his conclusion, right? Okay, fine. So that's his conclusion. But now let's look quickly at what the poskim say, right? He's basing himself on the poskim. So like you'll see quickly, the poskim go min hakatzeh el hakatzeh. So Reb Vosner, this is an article Reb Vosner wrote in Beit Levi. Okay, it's an article on Bar Ilan. So he says, "Yesh lahachmer b'tano mikro gal legaber chok me'az v'chalav k'mo b'tano ragil lo l'shtamish bo basar v'chalav gam k'sher mechasim ez atav shilim b'shaz achim k'motzim ba'od misi v'shana shatav shilim b'tav shilim mechamim k'sher mechusim l'zim gam galish tazim atav shilim." So he takes the most machmer position, be machmer not to cook basar v'chalav in it, even covered. Because even when you cover it, things overflow and things splatter, and therefore never use the microwave for meat and milk at least at the same time, even covered. In an oven, you're allowed to cook meat and milk at the same time as long as they're covered. Right, one of them is covered. So don't even do that in a microwave. And then he said, what happens if you do? Tano mikro gal shenesar al yidei shimush shabasar b'chalav, yamtin meis leis. But he thinks you can kosher it. How? You wait 24 hours. V'yachach yichamim b'maymat shir tachu. V'yuchsh al yidei azeya adim. Umase yishtamish bo. Me'ata yishtamish bo rak yishadav shem v'chuset. Said, boil out a cup of water. But he still thinks that doesn't necessarily kosher it. So after that, still only cook food in it covered. So basically, he hates microwaves, right? He says, don't ever. No.
Come into the hole.
Probably not. But, you know, we can't even get there yet. Right, so Reb Vosner basically said, look, never cook basar b'chalav in there, even covered, because it's going to splatter. And if you ended up cooking basar b'chalav, he says, you can kosher it, which is deceptive. He says, you can kosher it, and once you've koshered it, you can now cook in it if you cover it, because I'm still not sure the koshering even works. So basically,
like, you can, like, kosher it.
Exactly. So Reb Vosner basically says, look, I think this is, like, the worst thing in the universe. Don't cook basar b'chalav in there, even covered. If you did cook it, so then kosher it and still cover it, right? I just don't like microwaves, right? Okay. Now, the Chubas Van Hagos in 11 says, look, Meshela, near Chapashit Lobavade Molik Hechsher. Since someone asked him, obviously microwaves can be koshered. He says, and he just asked him, right? You asked me how to kosher it. I'm not sure you can kosher this thing. He says, even though we say that normally you can kosher things in the way it became treif, with steam, we don't say that. He says, the position of Magen Avram is if something becomes treif through not kosher steam, so you need to kosher it with, not with boiling water, but with libun. So he says, so you could do that to your microwave if you really wanted. You could blowtorch it, but I promise you that'll kosher the thing because you'll never use it again, right? It's very simple. Just He's like, I'm not sure you can kosher it with water. I think you can kosher it with a blowtorch. So, fine. There you go. Right? Right? And he says, etc. Right now he says some people distinguish between basar b'chalav and treif. Right? But he says still some people say that even by zeya of basar and chalav you need libum. He says obviously that is not going to happen in your microwave. So then he skipped down. He says sof davar. So he says, so the end. Lepesach lo iskamti lachshir. For Pesach I would tell you there's no chance. Right? Because but he says, even though Kiladasa Shal Yish Migdoli Aposkim Bamerica Shetiru, said there are some Americans who say it's okay. That's wrong, right? Right? No. Like, right? He says, Vigamlo Shamati Heyach Velama. I have no idea why anyone would have said that. It's just wrong. Virak Bashasat Chak Mame Shamati Murm Lahetir. He said, I've heard some people say Bashasat Chak, you could clean it well, and then you could steam it out, because it's Hetera Bola, right? Because Chamet was an Isser during the year. But then his last paragraph, he says, but I've heard other people say that you can never get the taste out, because once you've used a microwave a lot, the walls are discolored, the taste is absorbed in it. So I've heard some Americans think you do b'shas atchak. I don't love it for Pesach, for sure not. B'shas atchak, mamish, I'll think about it, but I really, really, really don't like it. Now, who are the right, Americans? So you look like in 12, the CRC, right? The microwave must be thoroughly cleaned and not used for 24 hours. Then a cup of hot water should be boiled in the chamber for an extended amount of time till the chamber fills with steam and the water overflows from the cap, from the cup. Zeo, right? That is, now not all the cautious organizations love it for Pesach, right? But they're willing to entertain. Some of them are for Pesach, some of them not, right? Chus Menagos doesn't let it for Pesach, doesn't love it for Basar B'chalav. Many of the cautious organizations will least allow it for Basar B'chalav. Now, like I said, that's the machmir side. On the other hand, there's what I know from Ray Willig. Right? Ray Willig said, I stuck my hand in. It was cold. And therefore he says, what do you have to do for a microwave? Clean it. So make sure it's clean. And if it's clean, then you can cook Basar and then Chalav. Right? Pesach is everybody's machmir. But in theory, in principle, should work for Pesach. I don't know if he actually says it for Pesach because everyone's machmir in Pesach. Rabbi Teitz as well, and his family does this till today. Right? Zachar Zeh, as long as it's clean. End of story. Now, the most thorough treatment though that I saw, Lichumra, is the Lahoras Nasan in 13, where I gave you a large chunk of it, but I'm not going to read it all inside. But he, right, I think gives the most compelling argument for why you would want to be machmir. So I'll like skim through it. So he says, first of all, he says it's for sure true. Right, that you can't use it zachar zeh, and he says why. So he says some people think it's mutter because the steam doesn't penetrate the walls and therefore it can't regurgitate the taste. But he says here he doesn't think that's true, and he gives a halachic language to it. Right? You guys did the halachos of covers, of pot covers, right? So remember the Ramah is a chumrah that pot covers can never be kosher. Why?
That's what we did. I don't think we did.
Oh. Okay, so there's a chumrah of the Ramah.
Yeah,
we definitely
right.
mentioned it.
Exactly. So the Ramah says, has a chumrah, that pot covers should never be koshered because the zeya is so intense and it's so hard to clean pot covers that even though in theory you should be able to kosher them, the minhag is not to kosher pot covers and to be super machmer in pot covers because the steam is so intense and because it's so hard to clean. So he says, even though it's a what?
Even more than the pot itself.
So it's the combination of the fact that the steam is like billowing it against it, right? And because of the fact that it gets into all the crevices, right? And right, pots have all these like covers have all these little crevices that are impossible to clean. As opposed to a stainless steel pot, you clean it out, right? You can get every corner of it. The covers never seem to get clean. So he notes that it's a big machlokas achronim whether we actually poskin that way. But he said, That's because some people think you can clean a cover. No normal person thinks you can clean a microwave. That thing just doesn't get clean, right? He thinks, right, the walls are covered, right? Food gets inside the vent, right? He said, you look at it, it is just a disaster halakhically, right? It just doesn't clean. And so he said, the two svaras the Rama brought, that it's very hard to clean a cover, and it becomes treif in such an intense way because of the zeya. He said, even if you would say it's not true for covers, it is true for microwaves. So therefore, right, Ladina, he thinks...
Does steam react the same way, just practically, pots are a very pressurized situation, right? So meaning,
so
steam
he thinks
want to go in a specific place,
right.
but it gets trapped, so it has to go...
Right, so he thinks a microwave is the same thing, right? So lehalacha, right, he thinks that it should therefore be usher totally to cook basar chalav or chalav and then whatever in a microwave, because again, he thinks is the worst possible situation. You can read through the tshuva to see the argument. So, but just to summarize it, right, what we've seen. So we saw that question one, right, in Shabbos, is a microwave bishul or not? Do you need ash or not? Question two was, even if for the purpose of Shabbos it's not, in other places in the Torah, could it be because we care more about the result and not the process, and not the process? Which we saw one nafkamina that is bishul akum, right? If you need formal bishul, so then it might not be bishul. If you say that no, there we need it to be, right? We need it to just be cooked. So then, like Rav Vosner, so then even if it's not bishul, right, it would be a problem by bishul akum. Or on the flip side, right, some people say, no, you don't develop chasnos, right, intimate by someone microwave food for you, right, so it might be mutar l'chadchila, but that's, right, already far afield into that. In basar b'chalav, therefore, where you're not chay for chamei tveria, so are you chay that you actually cook basar b'chalav together? It's a two-order question. First question is cooking without fire bishul even on Shabbos? If it is a bishul on Shabbos, right, so then it's obviously Asur Basar B'Chalav. If it isn't Bishul on Shabbos, do you say that on Shabbos it's about the process, but Basar B'Chalav is about the result, in which case on Shabbos it could be Mutter, and for Basar B'Chalav it would be Asur. The next question was Zachar Zeh, which we noted that the poskim divide into two camps. Those who think it's the absolute worst thing in the world because it's full of steam, it's hard to clean, it's super intense, it's small and less vented. And therefore, you have the poskim at the extreme who think not only can't you use basar and then chalav, you can't even kasher it without, as Moshe Shernberg said, libun, right, without torching it, right? And then the other extreme, you have poskim who say, that's true, except it's not real bishul, right? And the way the bishul happens, it heats up the steam, it doesn't necessarily heat up the walls, so the walls don't necessarily absorb taste al yidei chom, and if that's the case, they can't regurgitate the taste back into the following food. So those poskim say it's the most makil thing in the world. Now, the way to solve it, obviously, is to, according to most poskim, with the exception of Rav Vosner possibly, is to cook it covered. Because if you cook it covered, then the zeya won't be a problem.
Like,
and Rav Shechter...
Covered, not with venting.
So Rav Shechter notes that, no, probably when we say covered, in the case of microwaves, you don't have to totally cover it. It probably just has to cover the top, because all you have to do is prevent steam from going up and coming back down. But even if there were a little, if it wasn't airtight, he thinks it would still be fine. Right? So some poskim will probably tell you that if you're going to cover it, it needs to be airtight. Rav Shechter notes that because the problem is zeya... Correct. So Rav Shechter notes that, no, because of the problem here is zeya, is that we're worried that the steam is going to go up and then come back down, he thinks that if you're going to be makel and you're just going to cook covered, he thinks it probably doesn't need to be airtight. Because in this particular case, that's not really a concern. But again, that's the range, and you understand now why I'm not going to poskin, because like I said, I think microwaves are either the best or the worst thing in the world. I'm not sure which way they go. Personally, I'm notably machmir, right, or both.
Should you then theoretically have two?
But those are the issues behind it, yeah?
Does your cover just become basically trace?
Well,
your actual cover. Let's say you have these plastic.
If
you have,
like, the same for basar b'chalav. Yeah, you shouldn't use the same
plastic.
Right. If you have a unique one for basar and chalav, that'd be great. Because then, if you have a full cover, one for basar and chalav, I think that's vaday mutar according to everybody. Right. Except for possibly Rav Vosner, who doesn't believe that the cover will keep things from exploding. But assuming you actually keep it clean and it doesn't explode, So it should be mutter according to all cheetahs, as long as you clean it. If it does explode and gets all these things...
What if you have one cover for Basar, and then for Chalav you don't use a cover?
So that would probably be fine also. You only need to cover once. You only need to cover once. Or obviously, you only cover one. You don't need to cover both.
Covers, from we're saying it's a practical... It's just practically that steam... the whole thing won't be engulfed in steam.
Exactly, also, right? Meaning, as I was talking to Hartley Perlmutter about it, right? And he said, he put it very succinctly. He said, the reason that people have problems with microwaves is because they are Zeya machines, right? Yes, right? You look at the thing, it is a Zeya machine, right? Mitzad Sheni, it doesn't really heat up in the same way. So, again, those are the two poles. And while normally there's a range of positions in the middle, here there is no range. There are just two poles, and you are on either end of it, either totally mutter or totally usher, but that's the issues that are involved in like I said, in microwaves in Shabbos, but Mishalach, and Basar B'Chalav. So just to give you a skira, for Psak, ask your own posek.
People who still have cooking, this is all irrelevant, right?
Correct. Well, right, maybe. No.
Which is a feasible argument.
Correct.
That's
it's the worst thing in the world. Exactly.
So the people who hold that it's usher, right? They hold that. Are they saying
you can
that,
go? No, I saw this. So it was,
are they saying that the walls do get hot enough? Because that's what it has to be.
So that's something you have to check, right? Willie claims it doesn't. I think the walls do get hot. No.
It depends.
Depends how long you microwave it for.
I don't think they get hot.
No.
I have no idea.
Okay.
The question is how long.
I don't know. Do they get yatsa ledes?
Also,
if they get hot, I don't think they get hot.
Right. I'm saying, are they getting to like 100, whatever it is, 140, 160 degrees Fahrenheit? I don't know.
But at most,
right? They warm, right?
At most, they only get as hot as the steam. That's
which is how hot.
They don't get heated up by the actual waves.
If you put your hand over...
So they don't give it the heat of the waves, correct.
If you boil a pot of water and then instantly turn off the heat, or whatever, slide it over and you put your hands over the top, can you leave it there?
I guess so, right? Probably.
Yeah. Usually when you put it on top, it's because of the heat that's coming from the element.
Right? Anyway, that's the other ones who say it's a chumra. Say, look, at the end of the day, it's impossible to clean this thing and make sure that things aren't embedded in the walls. I think Rav Geshetner gives the best language to it, that it's like a kisui, right? It's like the Ramaz Chumra of a cover. But anyways, again, like I said, that's the range. Those are the two poles, right?
And there is no range.
With this mild question of what about covering? Right? The only range is that most people think you can cook it covered according to everybody, except for Vosner, who thinks, no, I can't even be assured that the cover won't overflow and spill or whatever.
It doesn't matter if it's reheating or actually cooking.
Correct. It makes no difference. Right. I mean, it would only make a difference for the question of bishul achar bishul. Parenthetically, for Shabbos purposes, just so you should know, I think standard psak amongst poskim is if you can microwave food rather than cook food for a chola on Shabbos, you should, because most poskim are convinced by Rav Shlomo Zalman that cooking in a microwave is probably only drabanan, at least for the purpose of Shabbos, and therefore, because electricity is drabanan, and therefore, right, you should do the most makel thing possible. So, like Rav Asher Weiss takes the repashut that you should, if you have to cook for a choleh, you should cook in a microwave and not an oven.
What if that's like Akum to do it? It's fine.
Right, because then it would be, yeah, exactly.
Also, regarding like the different types, like there's like bishul, there's a fia, there's all the different types of things.
What would it be?
So, would we.
Bishul, I guess? Probably bishul. But it's unclear because it's not really like any of them.
Think,
okay,
right.
Someone's waiting for you, Ariel. You can go.
You can go.
Because it's like, because that's, those are important classifications as far as Shabbos, right?
Yes, in terms of Shabbos, yes, and that was what Rav Vosner said in the beginning. But it's probably bishul, but we don't really know because it doesn't work the same as any of them.
So you can make an argument that if the food's covered, you wouldn't need to cook microwaves, you necessarily need to be kosher.
Correct. About that. Yeah. Tov, Shkoyeh.